A little more than 10 years ago, and we are back to Earth time now, the legendary jazz label Blue Note Records agreed to open its music vault to a little-known hip-hop group named Us Three. It was a big step for jazz music, willingly venturing into hip-hop territory. And it turned out to be an important cultural moment because it inspired a vital, if sometimes turbulent, exchange between jazz and hip-hop music, an exchange that's lasted more than a decade and has made for some great music. Derek John reports.
Blue Note didn't expect much beyond a simple updating of its sound when it granted hip-hoppers Us Three unfettered access to its back catalog a decade ago. But the collaboration would earn the venerable jazz label a new generation of listeners, not to mention a smash top 10 hit, Cantaloupe. The marriage of jazz and hip-hop wasn't entirely new in 1993, but Us Three's successful take on Herbie Hancock's classic Cantaloupe Island was one of the first to reflect hip-hop's unique musical vocabulary. However, the partnering of bebop with hip-hop, despite its best intentions, didn't always bear fruit, and many artists struggled to replicate Us Three's overnight success. Eli Wolf directed several of Blue Note's forward-thinking projects in the years after Us Three.
I think Us Three came at the perfect time when this jazz, hip-hop, acid jazz thing came in vogue, and a lot of it was very contrived in its nature to me. It was kind of like jazz meets hip-hop, hip-hop meets jazz. You know, it was cheesy at times.
It didn't help that the relationship was also essentially a one-way street. For while hip-hoppers continued to borrow heavily from jazz for its beats and samples, the caretakers of jazz remained pointedly indifferent to hip-hop's growing cultural clout. Music critic Jim Mackney is the co-author of The Future of Jazz and a longtime observer of hip-hop's tenuous influence on jazz.
Hip-hop, 10 years ago, didn't have all the credibility that it does today. You know, many of the remix projects only use hip-hop elements as an atmosphere. If that's as deep as it goes, it's only going to be mildly compelling in my book.
But recent efforts from both hip-hoppers and jazz musicians alike suggest a desire to make more than just a momentary groove. Exhibit A in this trend is Blue Note's recent album, Shades of Blue, Madlib Invades Blue Note. This time, Blue Note enlisted the help of West Coast underground hip-hopper Madlib, more a thoughtful architect of head-bobbing beats than a chronicler of the hard-knock life on the streets. Madlib, born Otis Jackson Jr., is the nephew of jazz trumpeter John Faddis. An enigma within hip-hop circles, he is said to exemplify the increasingly sophisticated approach to jazz remixing. The Shades of Blue track Slim's Return, based on 1968's rare side The Look of Slim by Gene Harris and the Three Sounds, demonstrates this keen sensibility. With only a few flicks of the wrist, Madlib gives the original a modern bounce with well-placed samples and turntable scratches over a rugged beat. Madlib isn't shy about giving props to jazz vinyl for his musical education.
Well, my father was a soul singer who also put out independent records, like in the 60s and 70s. I got his record collection first, and he listened to all types of music from soul, psychedelic, rock, to jazz.
Though it's not unusual for a DJ of Madlib's generation to plunder old jazz LPs for their dusty grooves, it is unusual to be so thoroughly schooled on the jazz giants themselves. Madlib would prove to be an ardent student of jazz's past, showing off his chops on 2001's Yesterday's New Quintet project. Trading in turntables for live instruments, he assumed the identities of five fictitious musicians, fooling critics who missed this sly reference to jazz's ensemble heritage. And before that was Jazz Cats Part 1, a 2-minute crash course on Madlib's musical mentors.
Bobby Hutcherson, Bob Lakey, and the Jazz Messengers, Horace Silver, Terry Gibbs.
That track was just paying homage to the people I listened to and let young kids hear some names that they might go by because they listen to my music. So I'm just trying to say names and have people go buy some of those records and learn something.
Madlib and his partners at Blue Note aren't alone in unearthing forgotten artists for a new audience. Jazz record labels have relied on older reissues for years now. Blue Note's Eli Wolf.
They might not buy a Lou Donaldson record on their own, but they hear Madlib do something to it, and he gives it his seal approval. They might then be like, oh, I'm going to check this guy out.
Which is exactly what Blue Note had in mind on their just-released album, Untinted, a collection of Madlib's original sources on Shades of Blue. However, Jim Mackney is skeptical of such crossover appeal.
And I'm certainly not sure that hip-hop fans go out and buy Art Blakey records just because they hear his voice or his splash cymbal on a hip-hop remix disc. But one of the beauties of the individualism of the remix itself is that it is a neither-nor type of thing. When I did listen to the best cuts on the Madlib record, it truly did become a beautiful middle ground between the original elements and the new elements.
Locating this elusive middle ground is at the heart of the jazz remix phenomenon. Albums like the popular Verve Remix series, and more recently Savoy Jazz's Charlie Parker remix project, Bird Up, have drawn the ire of traditionalists, who view jazz's legacy as sacrosanct. But according to Jim Mackney, the purists are missing the bigger picture.
Making your music have as much perspective as possible, and including the past in that perspective, is something to be proud of. That's one way of, utilizing the jazz canon, no question, because hip-hop is the language of the day.
A fact that jazz can't afford to ignore any longer. For Day to Day, I'm Derek John.
This is Day to Day from NPR News.